This is PodTech.net. I'm Rio Pacino, live here at the Mobile Game Conference in Bellevue, Washington. I'm here with Trip Hawkins, who is the chairman and CEO of Digital Chocolate, also the founder of EA. Welcome to the podcast. Well,
thank you.
Now, Trip, I know you were just speaking during your keynote, talking basically about Digital Chocolate, what it's all about, but I want to delve into the beginning stages of your career. For those who don't know, how did you get in the video game industry to start off?
I just figured out when I was a kid that I loved playing games. I thought it was a lot more stimulating. You know, you were really part of the action and you're interacting instead of just watching. I figured that if I was meant to watch, I might as well be a potted plant. And so I loved games. And as soon as I saw a computer, I thought, hey, you know, we have a lot more fun with games if we put them inside a computer. So I kind of grew up with the birth of personal computing. And I was one of the first managers at Apple.
Okay.
And help build Apple, and then went off to start Electronic Arts.
Now, what was the concept behind getting EA started?
Well, it's something I've been actually thinking about for about 10 years, and I knew I wanted to make games, and I was especially motivated to make realistic sports simulations. That had always been a big hobby of mine. So my childhood friends liked to joke that EA was just a big excuse so I could make another football game. And sure enough, later on at EA, I designed and created John Madden Football, which became the best-selling sports video game ever.
Now, you mentioned John Madden. I mean, that's one of my favorite games of all time. I've been addicted to it since the very first one on Sega Genesis. Now, you were the first to introduce using athletes, implementing those type of people into video games. Where did that thought process come about as far as you using Madden to market a video game?
You know, it was really about wanting to create a real experience, something authentic. And so the first time that was done was with Dr. J and Larry Bird in a one-on-one basketball game.
I remember that game.
And not only was it a more compelling fantasy, I want to be a Michael Jordan or a Dr. J and be able to slam dunk and shatter the backboard. I mean, that's a great, great fantasy to be able to do that. But they also really know their sport. You know, so to be able to talk to them about, okay, what's your shooting percentage on this shot or that shot, and how does this kind of defense work? And obviously with football, I realized that it's so complicated. It's such a sophisticated, advanced sport that I thought, hey, you know, why not get a really great coach who's really good at helping the public understand the sport to work with me to design the real thing.
Right. Well, obviously, you know, product branding using Madden. All of a sudden it became Tiger Woods. Now you got NBA Live. You know, all the EA Sports branding using athletes as cover boys for those games obviously made EA a huge success. You moved on to Digital Chocolate. You're getting into mobile games. What was the reasoning behind getting into, you know, leaving the video game realm and moving into mobile gaming?
People are starting to call the mobile phone the third screen. You know, everybody's got their TV and their computer, but now everybody's got a mobile phone. In fact, there are over 2 billion people using a mobile phone, and all of them are computers. And I actually think of it as a social computer, because the main reason people want to have a mobile phone is to be in touch with their friends and meet new people. So we love to make games for mobile that allow you to seize the minute. You know, obviously you have a lot of time to kill when you're mobile, and you know, sometimes it's only a minute or two, or maybe it's 15 or 20 minutes. So you make great games like Tower Blocks that are award-winning games that you can have a lot of fun with, whether it's 1 minute or 31 minutes. But we're especially keen on making new kinds of clubs where you can get your buddies together, like in a game like MLSN Sports Picks, where you can form your own private league with your buddies and you can compete by trying to predict the outcomes of upcoming sporting events, and you know which pitcher is going to strike out a bunch of batters and who's going to hit a home run or who's going to win the World Cup.
Now, what was the thought concept behind that game? Because obviously I'm a fantasy football geek. How much of a role did fantasy sports play in creating that game?
Well, I'm actually quite a student of fantasy sports, and I've been in a certain kind of fantasy league with some buddies of mine now for over 30 years, and I'm a big fan of that. But I also know that a lot of sports fans are maybe more casual, and they don't have the time to get that deep into it. Because, you know, if you're in a fantasy league, you know, you got to be studying all the roster moves and all the stats and all the free agents, and you know, you have to get in pretty deep. But what we wanted to do with MLSN is make something that's simple and accessible, so that you get a few minutes to kill on your mobile. You can jump into a contest with people all over the country, and there's just 5 questions. And it's whoever does the best job on those 5 questions. And you get a little trophy on your screen. It goes in your virtual trophy case, and then you have bragging rights. And, again, it's kind of fun to do it with a group of friends, because then you have head-to-head matchups that go on, you know, over a 3 or 4 day period, and it gives you something to talk about. I think that's really the essence of it is people are looking for fun things they can do with other people and that create the opportunity to have something to talk about.
Now, during your keynote, you were talking about making mobile gaming first rate. You also talked about making mobile gaming social, you know, with MLSN, as well as Avidating. You brought that game up during the keynote. Do you think those type of games are key?
Yeah, absolutely, because the industry really needs to do something new with mobile. It's really not going to cut it in the long run if we just do things that people have already seen before or that are actually better on another platform. I mean, if you've got a better music system and you got a better TV and you got a better gaming console, then why would you want the mobile phone to be trying to be competing with that? So I mean, I can certainly understand why somebody might want to play a classic arcade game on a mobile phone, because in fact it might actually work almost the same way. I mean, if you take a game like Pac-Man, the technology around the time Pac-Man was invented is pretty similar to what we can put in a mobile phone today. In fact, we can actually do better than that. So if you play Pac-Man on your mobile phone, it would at least be faithful to Pac-Man. But for the most part, I think with modern video games, they're designed to be much more immersive and much more advanced. And usually people want to go play them for a couple hours at a time. So clearly with mobile, I think we've got the potential to invent a lot of new kinds of services that really fit mobile lifestyle.
Now, you also mentioned during your keynote about the hardcore gamer, Hardcore Steve, and how that represents only 5% of the market. What's the other 95%?
Yeah, well, we were talking about this idea that Hardcore Steve, by the way, very important customer, because that's the early adopter, and that's the type of customer that has to be the first to figure out how all the stuff works, and that's been going on the last couple of years with maybe the early handsets. And so you really have to respect and admire that type of customer, because they're the pioneers that are kind of paving the way for everybody else. And you want to make sure that you give that customer a real good experience so that they'll then show it to their friends and talk to their friends about it and even show their friends how to do it. Because obviously a lot of people today, they might have heard there might be games on their mobile phone, but maybe they've never actually tried to look around on their phone to see where they are. And it's good to turn to a friend that knows about it, like Hardcore Steve. But most people just aren't that hardcore, and they want to do things that are pretty simple. Like if you look at the internet, I used to use email on the internet before there was the World Wide Web, before there were browsers. But today, everybody knows how to use a browser.
Right.
And you have a lot of people using free email on their PC today that definitely were not using email 10 years ago, because technology moves forward and it becomes simpler to do it, and it just opens it up for everybody else. So that's really where we want to go with mobile, is to make applications that are really fun that everybody wants to play.
What do you think the key is in making mobile games first rate?
Yeah, there's an old TV ad for the phone service that said, reach out and touch someone. So I think a really great mobile service is probably going to let you do that. And it's going to have help you connect with people. And I also think it's got to be really easy to use. You got to be able to hold your phone in one hand and just have one button to press with your thumb. And because you're maybe holding on to some coffee or holding on to the train or steering wheel or whatever. It's a very different type of device.
Madden, you mentioned product branding. I know you mentioned in your keynote that it's different when it comes to mobile gaming. You had statistics out there comparing your games to those of, say, I saw Jam Dad out there, a number of other games. What makes branding different when it comes to marketing mobile games as opposed to next-gen console or even current-gen console games?
There's two different ways that a brand gets created. One is saturation advertising. So somebody like MTV, for example, when they first started, they just were on TV all the time telling you, hey, there's this new thing called MTV, and they made it cool. And so people found out about it that way. But I think if you're a media company, and then generally almost any kind of media company, it's all about doing something fresh and original and getting people to start talking about it. And that's how you find out about the movies that you want to see and the books you want to read or the songs you want to buy. There's a community of people that and they talk about the media that they're discovering, and it's kind of an adventure to find the stuff that's new and fresh and cool. And there's no question mobile is right on the cutting edge of that.